The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Joined now by the poet laureate of the Hugh Hewitt Show, Tarzana Joe. Hello, Joe.
Hello, Hugh. You know, over the years, I've written many poems decrying the crisis of the loss of common sense, but things may be improving. It's said when you hear hoofbeats, be ye Capricorns or Libras, it's more likely you'll see horses than it's likely you'll see zebras. If you ask yourself the question, why is that woman in a wimple? It's quite likely she's a nun, because that answer's the most simple. It's unlikely that she plays a nun or thinks a wimple's cute or only donned the wimple because she couldn't find her suit. The easy explanation is the one that seems most clear. She's not wearing the wimple because she's posing for Vermeer. So when you find a virus that you've never seen before and the place in which you found it has a virus lab next door, you can search for explanations, you can pose 100 theories, posit hypotheticals, or launch 1,000 queries. You can muster all the experts and the folks who think they're wise, hire movie writers to concoct a load of lies. But it doesn't change the chances based on all the latest stats. If you hear a rustling of wings, it's more likely birds than bats. So when you hear those experts, give yourselves a breather. Don't believe the things they say. Plus, it's likely they don't either. That's Who'da Thunk It, or Occam's Chainsaw, by Joe.
Joe, that is brilliant. That's actually going to, I'm going to send that to Senator Cotton. He's going to love that. But
I think you named it wrong.
Thank you so much.
Oh. I think you named it wrong. I think you should have named it Everybody is Now Googling Wimple.
Yeah, because I did not know what Wimple was. I just Googled Wimple, and I did 12 years of Catholic school. I didn't know what a Wimple was.
Okay, well, now that's the way poetry elevates the vocabulary.
Well, Wimple, and I didn't know that Libras rhymed with zebras either, but I liked it. This will be at TarzanaJoe.com.
You have to stretch it a little bit to make the point. You have to stretch it a little bit.
It will be at TarzanaJoe.com. How is the poetry business?
Again, very, very strong.
You know, I have a lot of nuns listening, and they're all going to now want their poems done for their anniversary of ordination.
You're going to have a run on Wimple poems.
Wimple poems are going to say, if this guy can rhyme Wimple, he probably knows a lot about nuns. That's did you actually know the word Wimple before you wrote the poem?
Yes, you.
All right.
Because I did have the Sisters of Mercy who wore, the most starched Wimples that
I got you beat,
then they
brother.
Went all. Then they went all Vatican II on us, you know.
Sisters of Notre Dame wore a killer collar. I mean, if you got close, it was coming into that chainsaw you referenced.
Mm-hmm. It's starch.
So they had good avionics, is what you're saying?
Indeed, yes.
No, that's not the wimple. The wimple's down below. Is it the wimple? No, I guess that's not. The wimple's on top.
Yes. Well, it's the full covering.
It's the regalia, the whole deal? All right. Tarzana Joe with our clerical update of the week and poem of the week, which will be available at TarzanaJoe.com. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you. Everything is broken.
Welcome back, America. Hugh Hewitt, joined by Congressman Mike Gallagher of the great state of Wisconsin. Are you spending Memorial Day weekend inside the Beltway or back in the Dairyland?
Back in America's Dairyland, Hugh.
Well, have a great Memorial Day. Thanks for your service, Congressman. I do remember you are a Marine. I always remind people of that on this weekend. Congressman, let's talk about Wuhan. I began today's show by playing a clip of Senator Cotton on this show in February of 2020, February 17th, and we were talking about the Wuhan lab and what a coincidence, in quotes, it was that a virology level 3 lab was located where the virus had broken out. But the story was buried by a disbelieving and anti-Trump media. What do we know now?
Well, we now know, thanks to declassified information from the Trump administration that they released on January 15th of 2021, that workers at the Wuhan Institute got sick prior to the broader outbreak, which would suggest that this emerged from the lab and not from a wet market. We know that it was thanks to details filled in by the Wall Street Journal, it was 3 workers that got sick. We know that they were hospitalized. We also know that the Chinese CDC, almost without notice, in May of 2020, itself dismissed the wet market hypothesis and has gone on to spreading crazier or conspiracy theories, such as the so-called popsicle conspiracy theory that it came in via frozen food. And we know more than anything else, without any degree of doubt, that the Chinese Communist Party has been doing everything possible to distract from the lab leak hypothesis, disappearing records, disappearing whistleblowers, and releasing their wolf warrior diplomats on American social media to spread propaganda, in some instances blaming the U.S. Army for the outbreak of the disease. So the evidence seems, in my opinion, to be stacking up in favor of the lab leak hypothesis. Even those who have denied it, such as Dr. Anthony Fauci, have been forced to admit that it merits investigation. And finally, Hugh, the big thing we know now that we didn't have a full understanding of a year ago is that there is a stream of U.S. funding, not only from Dr. Fauci's organization, but from the Defense Department, from the Department of Homeland Security, that went through intermediary organizations like the EcoHealth Alliance, run by Peter Daszak, who's the biggest voice out there throwing cold water on the lab leak hypothesis, to the Wuhan Institute of Virology to support gain-of-function research. Now, Dr. Fauci denies it. I believe he is not being forthcoming. I believe he's hiding behind a highly legalistic definition of gain-of-function research, because as I just look at open-source records of U.S. grants, it seems obvious and incontrovertible to me that U.S. taxpayer dollars funded this type of research that needs to be shut down, because it seems that it had a role to play in the outbreak of this entire thing.
Now, Congressman Gallagher, I had Dr. Fauci on this show a couple of months ago, and I asked him expressly about gain-of-function research. He said no, they didn't fund it. And Josh Rogan sent me a note and said, you didn't ask him to define terms. So when Dr. Francis Collin of NIH came on last month, I asked him again. We talked about it at length. He said, absolutely not. We've only authorized that with a couple of cases of flu. It's very dangerous stuff. We wouldn't do that. Not true. I think the story changed this week. And I always tell people, the three most important words in the English language are, I don't know. And if you really don't know something, you've got to say, I don't know if we funded that research. I'll look into it. Or I don't know what might have been a pass-through. But money is fungible. And it's shocking that any American money by any delivery route ended up at the Wuhan Virology Lab. It's shocking.
Particularly since we also know, in part thanks to the work of the Trump administration, that 2 years prior to the outbreak of the broader pandemic, U.S. officials went to the Wuhan Institute and flagged massive security concerns with how they were operating. As you mentioned, this is China's only bio-level safety 4 lab, but we know that it was operating closer to a level 2, which has been compared to the level of security at a dentist office. And so, yeah, it is astounding to me that we would be continuing such cooperative research, knowing that there were serious problems at the Wuhan Institute, particularly since our own government during the Obama administration had put a moratorium on gain-of-function research from 2014 to 2017. So for Fauci to deny that this is happening, to me, is not a sustainable position, because in 2011, Dr. Fauci wrote an op-ed defending the merits of gain-of-function research. And I should point out, Hugh, there's a perhaps noble purpose here, right? The proponents of gain-of-function research believe that this is how you get ahead of the next pandemic, by taking naturally occurring coronaviruses, doing experiments on them, genetically modifying them to make them more infectious and pathogenic. They believe that's how you get ahead of the next pandemic. So I'm not suggesting it was malice on their part, but it's a controversial practice. It sparked debate at the time Fauci wrote the op-ed. It caused a moratorium for 3 years. And then when they lifted the moratorium, they put in place an oversight board, something called the P3CO Oversight Board. And notably, the latest grants received from Fauci's organization, NIAID, to the EcoHealth Alliance did not go to the oversight board for review. So there is a need, in addition to the intelligence collection effort that President Biden announced yesterday, there's a need for an independent congressional investigation, if for no other reason than to unpack all of the complicated funding streams. Hugh, I mentioned a DHS grant. DHS paid the EcoHealth Alliance, run by Daszak, $1 million to create a network of experts in 2018 to combat disinformation in the pandemic. In other words, the U.S. government was paying the very people who were spreading disinformation about the lab leak hypothesis because they had the most to lose, because their entire professional reputation was bound up in their not being a lab leak at the Wuhan Institute. And the intelligence community uncritically parroted the so-called scientific consensus in April 2020 when they released a public statement saying they supported natural emergence over lab leaks. So this is a massive intelligence failure as well, Hugh.
Now, our friend Dr. Jerry Hendricks has suggested to me that one of the reasons this may not be discussed much is because we really are afraid of the implications to international relations generally of a clearly identified source for a virus that has crippled the world, killed millions, and destroyed wealth and progress across the globe, that this would be a catastrophic blow to international amity. What do you think of that theory?
Well, I think it would certainly put a stake in the heart of so-called responsible stakeholder theory. Now, that may already be dead, but this idea, such as it still exists, that the Chinese...
Mike, your phone just dropped, Congressman. I think your phone just dropped on us. And so we will wait for Mike to call us back. I think this is truly a turning point in this perspective in the United States. We are now... I've been doing it for a year and a half. I've been talking about this virus and the implications of it coming out of Wuhan and whether or not it came out of that lab. I've been talking about it with Senator Cotton, with Secretary Pompeo, with Mike Gallagher. Nobody listens. That's fine, except center-right people who want to be informed. They paid attention. But remember, there were four Democratic Party nominee debates, four, after the virus came to light. And there were two after we were quite – after the – shutdown of travel by Donald Trump. Two, you know how much time was given to it? About 5 minutes. This is because it was inconvenient for the Democrats to talk about China and Wuhan and the Chinese Communist Party. It is no longer inconvenient. It is absolutely necessary. And the idea that we have opened up trade talks with the Chinese Communist Party, that is crazy. We should freeze everything unless and until they allow an international group of serious scholars into Wuhan to investigate everything about the Wuhan Institute of Virology. Why would we do that? What is to prevent them from doing it? Because that which gets rewarded gets repeated. I'm here to tell you, if in fact you are going to reward the People's Republic of China right now for a collapse in integrity, for a cover-up, for a mistake that killed millions, if you're going to pretend it didn't happen, what are they going to do? They're going to keep doing gain-of-function research, and they're going to keep being slipshod. So, Congressman, I'm worried about the consequence. I'm having lunch today with my old boss in the White House, Fred Fielding and Dick Houser, and a couple other people. And Fred was on the 9/11 commission. I'm going to ask him if they had any bioterror conversations there, because it seems to me that they didn't and that maybe we need to start focusing on this.
Absolutely. I mean, the implications, the implications of giving the Chinese access to mRNA technology as a dual use technology are enormous. I don't know where I cut off there, because apparently we lack internet access in Green Bay here.
But you do. It was fourth down, so you hung up.
How dare you? But my basic point is, I think this is a direct reflection of the nature of the regime we are dealing with here. And this is a regime that's perpetrating a modern day genocide. This is a regime we simply can't trust. And so getting to the bottom of this is not just a matter of preventing the next pandemic. It's a matter of understanding the adversary that we're dealing with, and understanding the ability of our own government to keep us safe. And I fear the more we go down this trail and the more we follow the evidence, we're going to see some serious failures, intelligence failures, failures in public health, failures just to follow lines of inquiry that we knew were legitimate from the start. But our media, broken such as it is, shut it down for a variety of reasons, in part because they hated Donald Trump.
Not all media, not the Hugh Hewitt Show, but you're right about that. And right now they want to pursue a January 6th commission when they should be pursuing a Wuhan Virology Lab commission. I mean, they really ought to. And Congress needs to. Congressman Mike Gallagher, have a wonderful Memorial Day. Again, thank you for your service in the United States Marines. Thanks for going there in Congress. Thanks for leading the way. You should be following at Rep. Gallagher on Twitter. I want to remind you that our sponsor is AndrewandTodd.com. There with Sierra Pacific, they lend you money to refinance your house or buy a home or help your son or daughter become investors in real estate by becoming a non-occupying co-borrower. They help senior citizens with reverse mortgage. They help veterans with no money down mortgages. They help you refinance. So if you need to get money out of your house or you need a whole new house, go to AndrewandTodd.com or call them at 888-888-1172. Welcome back, America. It's Hugh Hewitt, joined by Jim Talent, former senator from Missouri. We were just talking with Congressman Mike Gallagher about the apparent funding by American sources of Wuhan Lab of Virology gain-of-function research, Senator. What do you make of that?
I'm almost speechless because after listening to your piece about Fauci's testimony, I went and read Nicholas Wade's memo, which I was remiss in not reading because it's 3 weeks old. And I was just flabbergasted. Look, I knew, and I said all last year, that it was possible this was an escape from a lab because the Chinese do billions and billions of dollars of all kinds of bio research. We know that. We know their safety protocols are lousy. We know they don't have any scruples about doing gain-of-function research, all the stuff we sweat over. They don't care about any of that. So, you know, you knew it was a possibility. But when I went back and read, I'm sure you've read it. It's meticulously reported, and the guy ought to get a Pulitzer Prize. But one of the things he says in there is that Dr. Xi, who is the Chinese virologist who did the research, actually set out in the grant application, she was a subgrantee from the Echo Health Alliance, that she was going to do gain-of-function research. Here's a quote from Wade's piece. He says, Dr. Xi set out to create a novel coronavirus with the highest possible infectivity for human cells. And she got the grant from the Echo Health Alliance, the leader of which, I didn't know this either, was the guy who organized the first letter in February of 2020, which from 27 virologists, which supposedly debunked the lab theory.
Yep. And so, Jim, the point is that I also had Dr. Fauci on the show. He denied it. I've had Dr. Collins on. He said, we don't do that. I think the credibility is shattered because people don't know when to say, I don't know. There's no way Dr. Fauci knows what the grants say. He hasn't read that subgrant, but he should know. And he does apparently know now. And there's just nothing to be gained by ever saying no when you don't know no.
Well, look, I agree. And there may be an innocent explanation, and maybe Wade is wrong, okay? But I had no idea. I mean, the guy meticulously reported it. It's no wonder everybody's up in arms. I mean, and listen, we know the Chinese moved immediately to cover this stuff up. Go back and take a look at the U.S.-China Commission's report from November 2020. I sit on this commission. It begins on page 299 of the report. It's a long, you know, our reports are very long, okay? But, again, we know they destroyed samples of the virus in January of 2020. They decoded the genome and would not release it. As a matter of fact, the Shanghai research team released it informally, and they shut down that laboratory for what they call rectification. The three journalists who reported on it, you know, I believe in early February of 2020, they disappeared. And they knew the virus was transmissible and kept that from the WHO all through January. I mean, this is we just reported in our report. I mean, it was so you knew they were covering it up. And if it's true that it escaped from the labs, and they're the only ones who really know, we also know now why they were covering it up and still are.
Yeah, and the key thing is, what do we do next, Senator? I don't think there's going to be a January 6th commission. There is going to be an intelligence community look at this. But the question is, will we so upset? First of all, does the Chinese Communist Party owe the world reparations, in your view?
Well, they owe the world that explanation. They're not going to give it. And I think one of the reasons this is important is because they have been using, they turned around, again, we knew this, they turned around all through last year and into this year, and they've been using this outbreak to support their narrative about how good their regime is and how responsible their regime is. And they've been attacking us and blaming us for it. That's one reason we need to find out about this, because they're using the pandemic against us and to support their foreign policy narrative, which supports their national interests. So, yeah, it would be really good to find out about this. Unfortunately, I think there's no way we're going to know with certainty unless we can get the records from the lab. And that will happen shortly after you-know-what freezes over.
And there's one other result that should come from that. Those who were right then should be listened to now. One of those was Senator Tom Cotton. Another was Mike Pompeo. Oh, yeah. Cotton was first. So if they were right about this and were dismissed a year and a half ago, do you think the media will change and begin to listen to people who are, for example, on Senate Intel?
Well, I hope they do. And I'm going to calm down now. I've been upset about this since last night when I read it after I listened to the podcast. What I hope does happen is that people in the media and in the legacy media understand that when you censor dissenting views like this, you end up cutting us off from really from information and ideas that can be really, really important. In other words, it's so counterproductive and so counter to what their basic function is in a functioning democracy. So yeah, I hope people look at this, because all Tom was doing, Tom knows, Senator Cotton knows China. Okay, so he knew from the beginning that this was a possibility for the same reason I did, right? Because we know how they operate. Now, we couldn't know, and that's all he said, is it's a possibility.
And conventional wisdom kills innovation, outside of the box thinking, and in this case, absolutely necessary truth seeking. Senator Jim Talent, follow him on Twitter @JimTalent. Thank you.